Welcome to Lincoln's Music. I'm your host, Cynta Sieber-Lang.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. Took a little bacon and we took a little beans. Met the buddy British little town of New Orleans.
Fired our guns and a British cap a cupping. Wasn't as many as it was a while ago. Fired once more and they began a running down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Abraham Lincoln, born in rural Kentucky in 1809, died President of the United States in 1865. Those 56 years bore many changes to young America, perhaps echoed in the music of the era.
Abraham Lincoln's life spanned a tremendous period of growth and change in the young nation, and the music of that period reflects that change like nothing else. And I really believe that. Music is the soundtrack of this melting pot of America we talk about. And if you listen to the music and how it changes, you can begin to hear the difference between the really crude pioneer songs and the more developed songs. And by the 1840s and 50s, you have the beginnings of what would be popular music. You know, minstrel songs, Stephen Foster, who would sell millions of copies of songs in an era when 3,000 copies of a sheet music was considered a great success. So Lincoln's life kind of parallels this explosion of growth, and this music is just a wonderful way to look at it. But a significant portion of the music reflects the earlier years. So yes, there was a lot of things in the music that people are aware of from the Civil War, but that's not the whole story.
It's hard to start out when you talk about the music of Lincoln's time because, of course, they were inherited the music of that was made before their time.
That's 93-year-old Irwin Thompson. He preserves early pioneer music, poetry, and stories. I spoke to him in his ancestral home high on the bluffs of the Mississippi River. Before him was Chris Valillo, a professional roots musician from Macomb, Illinois. Chris has an archaeology background and a keen interest in regional history.
First of all, when I think of the music of Lincoln time, I think of a fiddle tune called the 8th of January. The Battle of New Orleans was fought on the 8th of January in 1814. And somebody who was patriotic enough to note that adventure with pride, made up this fiddle tune. Well, that fiddle tune, I'm sure, was part of the fiddle tunes that they played in Lincoln's time because it has survived unto this day. That 150 years later, a history teacher decided that it should have words, and he made words to it. And the popular song, The Battle of New Orleans, is the 8th of January.
Lincoln's musical history begins with his mother, Nancy Hanks Lincoln. It's said that one of his most important influences was her regular reading and singing in their Kentucky log cabin. Abe later said that the English ballad Barbara Allen was her favorite.
It was about Martin time and the green buds they were swelling, and Sir Johnny Green of the West Country fell in love with Barbara Allen. He sent his name down through the town to the place where she was dwelling, said, "Hark and come to your master, dear, but give me Barbara Allen."
Other tunes of Abraham's youth were for play party games. This was just a kind of square dance where voices were used to play the music when musicians weren't available. Popular favorites included Skip to My Lou and Oh Susanna. Apparently none sang louder or danced more outrageously than the awkward Abe Lincoln, a description that remained with him into his courting days in Springfield. Here are a couple of Lincoln's favorite dance songs, Old Sister Phoebe and Skip to My Lou.
Oh, Oh, Sister Phoebe, how happy were we the day we sat under the juniper tree. The juniper tree, hi-ho, hi-ho, the juniper tree, hi-ho. Place this hat on your head, it'll keep your head warm, and take a sweet kiss, it will do you no harm. But a great deal of good, I know, a great deal of good, I know. Old Sister Phoebe, how happy were we the day we sat under the juniper tree. Now around and around we go, around and around we go. Mouse in the buttermilk, skip to my loo. Mouse in the buttermilk, skip to my loo. Mouse in the buttermilk, skip to my loo. Skip to my loo, my darling. She's gone again, what will I do? She's gone again, what shall I do? She's gone again, what shall I do? Skip to my loo, my darling. Get me another one prettier than you. Get me another one prettier than you. Pretty as a redbird, prettier too. Skip to my loo, my darling. If I can't get a red but a blue but a do, if I can't get a red but a blue but a do, if I can't get a red but a blue but a do, skip to my loo, my darling. Loo, loo, skip to my loo, 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 skip to my loo, 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 skip to my loo, skip to my loo, my darling.
Well, there were the fun dance songs like Old Sister Phoebe, Oh Susanna, and Skip to My Lou, the minstrel songs. We'll talk about some of those later and even hear a story about one that could have cost him the presidential election. And then there were the sad ballads like Barbara Allen and this mournful Irish ballad called Kathleen Mavourneen. Those surely couldn't have helped his natural tendency towards melancholy. Chris Villillo's 2007 CD, Abraham Lincoln in Song, highlights just some of the most beloved music of this beloved president, along with a few written in honor of the great man. Here's Chris's rendition of the Stephen Foster piece, Hard Times Come Again No More.
Well, Lincoln had many, many favorite songs. Lincoln loved music, and he was very partial to humorous songs, what they called minstrel songs. And he also used this music as a tonic because, you know, he constantly fought depression in the years as president, because here was a man of very delicate nature. For instance, there's a story that was told about Lincoln when he was a circuit riding lawyer, how he was riding one day with Judge David Davis, and they happened upon a baby bird that had been blown out of its nest in the night before storm. Lincoln stops, gets off his horse, picks up the bird, puts it back in his nest, and continues. Well, that night they're all staying at these little taverns where the lawyers would stay, and the judge was making fun of Lincoln about that. And they were good friends. And he said, "Judge, I know it's silly, but I would not be able to sleep tonight if I hadn't picked up that bird." Now, here's a man that is so tender-hearted that he has to stop to help a baby bird, and yet ultimately it is his job to send hundreds of thousands of young men to their death. And so he constantly struggles with this.
Let us pause in life's pleasures and count its many woes while we all sup sorrow with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times come again no more. Life away with a frail form whose better days are o'er. Though her voice should be merry, 'tis crying all the day. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door.
It's said that this is the song in 1865 Union prisoners in Danville, Virginia, spontaneously burst into when hearing they were soon to be released. Marking something of the duality in Lincoln's nature, while he loved the minstrels and is known for his humor and jokes, he also drifted toward the melancholy in tunes and ballads, poetry and drama. One story is that when he first heard the battle hymn of the Republic, he was brought to tears.
Fiery God. nails of steel, as you deal with my contemner, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
In Lincoln's early days in Illinois, he spent much time riding the circuit with the other young lawyers and judges. To help pass the time, they relied on each other's humor and entertainment.
They say that when he was a circuit-riding lawyer, he would join in and sing, and was not known for a good voice, but was known for enthusiastic participation, and also would mimic the characters of any given song, and some of them could have been quite humorous, knowing the nature of a lot of those songs in those days.
And thanks to the 20th century research of people like Bradley Kincaid and Carl Sandburg, we know that Lincoln played a little too. Again, when he was a circuit riding lawyer,
he carried one of these things around with him. They go back thousands of years. In Lincoln's era, there would have been less than a penny apiece. Any dry goods store or peddler could have sold you one. And, you know, it makes a dandy sound. And, you know, it was perfect for carrying around, pulling out when you had a few minutes to make some music, and then throwing back in your satchel or your pocket. So one of the songs actually dates to that era. It was one Carl Sandburg documents Lincoln as having sung, and Ward Hill Lehman played it on the banjo. And Lincoln himself claims to have played this as a circuit-riding lawyer. So in the recording, I actually perform this song we know for a fact Lincoln sang on an instrument we know for a fact Lincoln played. Jaw harp, Jew's harp, jaw harp, harp, frog, fiddle, Snoopy harp, Arkansas harp, googaw, geegaw, droomblaw, or trump.
Well, no matter what you call it, here's Chris playing Who's in Johnny off his CD Abraham Lincoln in Song.
Now the little black bull come down the meadow. Who's in Johnny? Who's in Johnny? Little black bull come down the meadow. Long time ago, long time ago, long time ago. Little black bull come down the meadow. Long time ago. Now first he stomp and then he beller. Who's in Johnny? Who's in Johnny? First he stomp and then he beller. Long time ago, long time ago. Long time ago, first he stomp and then he beller. Long time ago. He wet his horn on a white oak sapling. Who's in Johnny? Who's in Johnny? He wet his horn on a white oak sapling. Long time ago. Long time ago. Long time ago. He wet his horn on a white oak sapling. Long time ago. He pawed the dirt in the heifers' faces. Who's in Johnny? Who's in Johnny? He pawed the dirt in the heifers' faces. Long time ago. Long time ago. Long time ago, he pawed the dirt in the heifer's faces. Long time ago.
We know Abraham Lincoln played the jaw harp, but we also have a story of him playing the harmonica, specifically O Susanna, during the Lincoln-Douglas debates. A travel companion reported him pulling a harmonica out of his pocket while saying, "This is my band. Douglas had a brass band in Peoria, but this will do for me," and playing this tune, which was undoubtedly the most popular tune of the day. But apparently Lincoln's demeanor changed later, once he was more in the public eye.
Once he became a well-known political figure, he would never admit to singing again and would, in fact, not do it. There was one situation in the White House, and I don't forget who it was, but some young woman who was there and was might have been a daughter of a political ally, asked him to sing something, and he would not do it, but spoke a poem that he said was his favorite instead. And that was typical of the way he would deal with that after the fact.
But before he moves on to Washington, Lincoln needs to make one more meaningful impression in Illinois, and song is going to play a very important role. It occurs at a dance in the home of Ninian Edwards, where both Lincoln and Mary Todd are in attendance.
Yes, that's a beautiful story, but the story basically goes that Lincoln was invited to a dance at the home of one of the prominent social figures in Springfield that happened to be Mary Todd's sister. She was up visiting from Kentucky. He sees this beautiful woman, and by all accounts, she was just gorgeous and quite the socialite. And being the tall, gangly fellow that he is, he walks over and introduces himself and says, "Ma'am, I would like to dance with you in the very worst way." And of course she agrees. They go out to dance together. He brings her back and sits her down and walks off, and then all of her girlfriends come up to say, "Who was that man? What was that all about?" You know, and such. And she explains how he says this business of wanting to dance with her in the worst way, and then she says, "And he did." Apparently he stepped all over her toes and was a terrible dancer.
The waltz you're listening to right now is called the Silver Bell Waltz, and a copy was presented to Lincoln in 1865 by a friend, Lyman Crosby, because it was said to be President Lincoln's favorite. Douglas Jimerson plays the piano on this 1999 recording. Well, surely no one will ever contend that courtship is an easy thing, but song and dance have long been a part of it. Here's Irwin Thompson with a little background on a tune that almost certainly was known to Lincoln and all the young men and women of the 19th century. Robert Burns' Coming Through the Rye.
It's an old Scotch song, and obviously rye, when people think of that, they think of a field of waving grain, and of course, that's not what it was. It was a little river, and there was these stepping stones across the river, and the song "through," the word "through," that meant actually that they crossed the river, but they didn't actually wade the river. They were stepping stones that they went across the river, and that's the background of the song, about the fact that they walked across on these stepping stones. And of course, when there was a beautiful young girl crossing the stone, well, sometimes the young man would arrange that they had to meet in the middle of the river, and sometimes it worked nicely and sometimes it didn't.
My version of it. That's Irwin Thompson and his neighbor, 13-year-old Nancy Gaither, on fiddles playing Comin' Through the Rye, written about 1780 by Scottish poet Robert Burns. The song is a traditional courting tune that persists today, with dozens of renditions found on the internet. Mr. Thompson learned his instrument around 1935 and has been collecting songs and stories ever since.
In 1935, I was 20 years old. And I had a cousin come, and I was playing guitar at that time, trying to anyway. And this gal was good. She was probably the best musician I ever played with. And she was my cousin. She was just a youngster. She wasn't over 20 herself yet. But she came here and she spent 2 weeks with me here with us, and she really inspired me to do something besides playing guitar. So I went down to the hawk shop and I bought a mandolin for $5, banjo mandolin. And I started to play it, and I knew a little bit how to tune it and all, so I was playing it. So after she left, I kept on playing mandolin. And so that fall, my aunt said, "How did you learn to play the violin?" And I said, "Well, I had never considered that I would, or that she would think that I was able to or want to have anything to do with me playing violin." So I said, "Well, I'd love to, but I didn't think I could." Well, she said, "You've got everything that you need there with the mandolin. As far as the finger goes, all you do is learn to use the bow." So I said, "Okay, I'll certainly do that." So she gave me her manhead violin. And she said, "You got to promise me two things." "Okay," she said, "you got to hold the bow right. You get to play where we're not." So that was my introduction to learning the fiddle.
Chris Bellillo's CD, Abraham Lincoln in Song, includes the song Darling Nellie Gray. It was written in 1856 by Benjamin R. Hanby of Ohio. His father had a house on the Underground Railroad, and the song is reportedly based on one runaway slave's story. The song became popular in the North both before and during the Civil War. Bellillo includes the original lyrics, "The White Man Come" and "Bounder in His Chain." Irwin Thompson says many modern songbooks omit this verse entirely, stripping the cultural origins from our American musical heritage and the minstrel tunes Lincoln loved. Another example is the story behind the Yellow Rose of Texas.
The Yellow Rose of Texas was, of course, a beautiful colored girl who was partly white and partly black. It was written for a young lady who entertained the Mexican General Santa Anna when Texas was fighting for independence. And she went and entertained him in his tent while he was supposed to be doing other things, and the native Texans spiked their guns and won the battle. And someone who was interested in that and who was a songwriter wrote this song in the Yellow Rose of Texas for this mulatto girl who had probably had as much to do with creating Texas's independence as anybody and the actual people that are fighting, because she had removed the general from the field at the time that he should have been tended to other business besides his personal ones. Now that's the story the internet gives us. I didn't have that story originally, I don't know. Whoever put that out probably had their reasons for it and their background. I won't vouch for that other than what the internet says, but there's no question about the fact that Yellow Rose was a Negro girl. That was the sweetest rose of color. It makes me absolutely angry to hear some of the changes that they've carved out of the thing. So they've stolen these people's heritage. If I was a Negro, I'd be angry. And as I said, I'm angry anyway, just because I think it's a crime what they've done.